Isaiah 28. In that day, Isaiah 27:1, with the sore, actually it says in the Hebrew, fiery, with the fiery and great and strong sword, the Lord shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. But it says in the Hebrew, not just that he's piercing, but that Satan is always going crooked. He's always going from left to right, and he never goes on the straight path. So it's referring to the fact that he has no desire to do anything but rebel against God. And of course, he then has infected us, all mankind. He's infected everybody, so that we go off to the left and to the right. In other words, that would be lukewarm. He doesn't like to go to the left or to the right, kind of like go back and forth so you can't tell which way he's going. Is he going to the left or is he going to the right? Is he heading toward religion or is he against religion? So many Christians are like that. They're lukewarm. You can't tell where they're going. Now let's see. Are you hot for Jesus or are you for the devil? Oh, I can't tell. So you can't tell which way people are going. Isn't that funny? You're not laughing, but you know, I think that's funny that you can't tell. Are you going this way, or are you going this way, or are you going straight? Because if you're hot, you're straight. You never go off to the left or to the right. So the Bible doesn't know anything about someone who's lukewarm. It says that God will spew them out of his mouth, which means he's not even going to deal with them. I mean, they're just finished. I mean, of course they're cold. You can't be lukewarm. You either have to be hot or cold. I would that you were hot or cold, he said. But that you're lukewarm, that you're wiggling all over the place, and you won't just choose to be your new self or your old self, but you're going to try to be in the middle. That's called safety. There's no safety in that. Either you're triumphant or you're defeated. Either you're a sinner or you're a saint. Either it's black or it's white. Either it's cold or it's hot. Either it's this or it's that. That's all there's to it. Now, I happen to live that way. I don't live in the gray. I remember when I went to college, first thing they taught me on day one, they call that orientation. I remember they taught me, I was a pagan by background, so I wasn't a Christian. But I remember they said, there are no blacks and whites. Everything is gray. I thought that was funny. And I was just a pagan sitting there in a church school. It was a church school like TCU or something. And I just thought, God, that's neat. If there's only gray, then there are no rules. And I'm already lawless. This is wonderful. This is good. So there's no such thing as bad. My parents always wanted, in fact, the only reason they sent me to that school was they hoped I'd get a little religion in me and a little morals, you know. And so they were excited that I was going to a church school. But I was just a pagan and, you know, totally self-oriented and didn't care. Didn't have any love for anybody. Didn't love my parents, didn't love anybody. And I just wanted for me the great. Does anybody else grow up that way? Me awesome. Me conquering everything. You know, does anybody else have imagination like I do? Jim the Great. In other words, here I am. Anyway, so when I sat there, I just kind of thought about that. So Leviathan, this serpent of the sea, he's like that. Now, some of you were here last Tuesday, you heard me already talk about all this, so I won't review it again. But Satan gets judged. And in the end, that snake, because snakes go back and forth. You ever notice that a snake doesn't go straight in a straight line? They go this way, and then this way, and then this way, and then this way. And they move up slowly, back and forth, back and forth. I love that. It does take a longer time to get where you're going. I just was going straight to hell. Straight. Cold. You know, I wasn't moving to the left or to the right or anything, just straight to hell. And it didn't bother me. I wasn't afraid. I didn't care. I didn't care if I lived or died or what happened. If as long as I was alive, I was going to cheat and lie and steal and do whatever I had to do to get through. Amen? Do y'all understand that? Now, is there anyone here liketh unto me? I mean, I'm not like this now, but that's the way I grew up. I grew up like that. I love that. I love the way I grew up. It's awesome because it was completely worthless. I was completely vain. Is anyone vain? Completely shallow. I had nothing. I just made up everything. I just invented everything on a daily basis, you know. Hey, how can I maximize myself here? You see, you don't like it that I'm like that by my background. But, you know, that's the only one that God loves. God loves a person like me who was completely called a sinner. I was bastard when I was born. That means I had no father, born out of wedlock, one night stand. That was the end of that. You know, my mom never saw him again, ever. Peggy found him, and I went and visited him and witnessed to Jesus and so on and so forth. So he might be in heaven. But and then I forced my mom. I didn't really force her, but, you know, I encouraged her. Mom, talk to him. He feels guilty about, you know, what he did. He didn't even know I was born. Your parents apparently told him that you were gone. He came back apparently the next day, and my grandmother said, no, she isn't here. Well, where is she? She's moved. What? She was just here yesterday, you know. So they all lied because they were mafia. My dad was Jimmy Hoffa guy, you know. And his brother, Uncle Tom, and Uncle Vic, and a hell of a bunch of them, they're all mafia. And then my mom's brother was mafia too, but he was Irish mafia. So see, you have Irish and you have Italian and you have all these different mafias. Isn't that funny? And so I had no mafia. I had no family. I was just on my own. But the reason I say that is because Satan, this guy that, you know, was taking charge of me, he just made me go to, you know, never know where I was going to go. So I just want to go for Jim. And he encouraged that. Be all that you can be. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Total ambition. I will win. I don't care who I destroy on the way. Does anybody else have that kind of view? Now, in Chicago, they call that dog eat dog. You're the little dog, and you have to eat that Great Dane before he eats you. So, you know, I'll just bite at his feet or something, you know, whatever. I will make it. And, you know, I did. I actually got all the way to Yale, top of the top of the top. I was la creme de la creme. It's all, you know, now I wanted to get 7 degrees so I could have more than any other human being on the face of the earth. Now, later I found out there are people with many, many more degrees than that, but I didn't know about that. I only knew a Jesuit who had 5. I thought, I got to beat him, I'll get 6. And I thought, no, you'll get another one in the meanwhile, I'm going to get 7. And I'm doing it 2 at a time. I'll get 2 PhDs at a time. So you have no idea the pride that I had and the arrogance that I had. And, you know, I had no, you know, nothing would stop me. There was no way. I knew I could win. And even if I had to cheat all the way through, which I did, it didn't make any difference. Now, God saw that snake of a person and said, I like that boy, Jim. That guy is way off. How many know God loves sinners? That guy is heading for hell. And God desires not the death of any sinner. So he looked down at me with great compassion. This is a poor slob, that guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's a bastard, you know. It took me 4 years to get a birth certificate, and then I had 3 of them, and they all had different names. And you know, I didn't know who I was, where I came from, what I was there for. I just made it up. I just invented it. I completely lived in my imagination. Does anybody else ever do that? This invented stuff. I will be great. just total invention. As a little kid, I played alone a lot. Just imagine stuff. I win every time. Every time I made the rules up, I won. So I used to do that all the time. Isn't that funny? Can you imagine someone like that being a pastor now? Great man of God. Awesome. You see how God has a sense of humor. You guys must be idiots because you're here. But you see, I actually believe that God has a sense of humor and that he takes the foolish things of this earth and then he's able to make the crooked straight. He's able to make the darkness light. He's able to make the foolish wise. He's able to do what no one else can do. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. They can only take man as he is and try to, you know, work with him, but not God. God can do anything and everything. You know God's love. And he loved me. From the moment he woke me up, not last night, but the night before, Friday night, 4:15. I said, God, it's kind of early. I haven't even got 8 hours yet. You know, so I'm going to go back to bed. And he said, no, I want you to go. He didn't say go back in your office, but I knew what he meant. I want you to go, and I'm going to speak to you. Whoa, you're going to speak to me. That was it. I mean, I didn't think about it. I only thought, well, I guess I'm not going to get 8 hours sleep. That's about it. But God's going to speak to me. So I was excited. 4:15 in the morning, I'm wide awake because he's going to speak to me. So I went back, sat down where I always sit, and got out my pencil and paper, and I was ready. It's like I knew he was going to speak. I was clear. How many know that you can hear God? Even though I grew up in the most God-awful way, poverty, utter poverty, you know, outhouse, no plumbing, no nothing, pump outside and all that stuff. Even though I grew up with nothing and no hope, no possibility of getting anywhere, God looked down, he liked me. I like that boy Jim. He's evil, but at least he's not lying. At least he's not lying about it. He's not a hypocrite. The guy is a genuine evil person. And I am, and I was. Apart from him, I'd go right back. I'd go right back into the world. I love lying. I'm very good at it. I'm deceptive, tricky. And I love Christians who are tricky and treacherous too. I do. I like them very much. I really do. I love living among the lies and the stuff that Christians have. But, you know, I can't understand. I always thought, if I ever become a Christian, I will not be a hypocrite. I'll either be all the way 100%, which that kind of settles it right there because I've never done anything 100% except sin. So I don't think I'll be a Christian because that sounds like too much work to me. You'd have to be decent and good and kind and give away your money and like people and stuff. I don't like that. So you see, I was not a bright, brilliant person at all. As a little kid, I just was an ordinary nothing. So absolute nothing. Got beat up in the first grade, and that was it. I thought, there's no justice in this world. So that was the end of it for me. First grade did it. First day of school, that's it, it's over. Had to run every day home to not get beat up. Every day I'd look around the corner when I come out of the church building to see if, because they would hide, to see if they'd be hiding there to get me. And then I would have to go another direction or something, try to, and run as fast as I could. Isn't that funny? Funny way to live. Terrorized. Just live in utter terror. Does anybody live like that? I tell you, it's good to live in terror because then you find out later when you meet God, what a difference. There's a great contrast for me. You know, the Bible says that she that hath been forgiven much loveth much. Well, I'd make the she into a he. He that hath been forgiven much. Because I was a much. You know, deliberate, conscious, knowing, bad. I wanted to do it, and I did it, and I enjoyed it. I never, ever, 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 ever felt bad about what I said, did, or thought, or stole, or cheated, or whatever. I always felt good about it. So, you know, I'm very good at this. That's funny, isn't it, Danny? And now I can't do it because of Jesus. So anyway, he woke me up. And so I went in the back, got my pencil out, and he said, I'm going to tell you the whole world. How long am I going to be up? You know, I'm going to lay it all out. And he did, just within a few minutes. He showed me the whole world, how it was. Everything. Just crystal clear. Then he said, I'm going to tell you all about your life. The night you were conceived, when you were born, what happened. And he laid all that out. Just quickly. I have it all written down. And then he said, now I'm going to speak to you. This is what you're going to do. And here's a word I want you to give your wife. Give her this word. So he gave me something I was supposed to say, and I shared it with her later when she woke up. And then he said, and tomorrow I want you to go a certain place. So I obeyed at once. How many know that when you're born again, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, you don't have to think? I don't think. I do not waste time thinking about, if God says get up, I get up. If he says you're done, you're done. And when he said I was done, I knew I was done. And that's amazing. How many know that you can just, with your conscience, your natural conscience, that I have a Christian one, you can just hear right away, no, yes, no, yes, get up, don't, go, stop. It's just simple. So there's nothing to think about. And right away, intuitively, I just knew he's going to speak to me. And I heard him. But of course, it wasn't out loud. It's just that I knew God's going to speak to me. And I was excited. And then the next day, I could hardly wait because I got up, you know, early. By the way, that all took about an hour and 15 minutes. So from 4:15 to 5:30. Then he said, go back to bed. I said, really? I mean, shouldn't I just stay up? I mean, you've already got me up and you've ruined it. You know, the whole thing of sleeping. No, go back to bed. So, hey, praise God. So I just went back to bed and went right to sleep. It's amazing. So I didn't need to worry about God wasting my time or something. He just settles everything. And I knew, and I was so excited that I said, well, God, you know, it's not until such and such an hour. What do I do meanwhile? Nothing. I mean, you know, didn't have anything for me to do, just do this and that, so on, nothing interesting. And it's like, I want to go now. I want you, because he told me, tomorrow you're going to go to this certain place and you're going to hear me speak to you again. Not about the whole world, not about your life, not about, you know, this and that, but you're going to hear everything you need to hear. And you know, when God speaks to you, you hear everything. I mean, I had no questions, I had no doubts, no fears, no worries, no concerns, no nothing. Once God speaks, it's over. And it's instantaneous. It doesn't take, you know, your mind, you know, brewing over it and so on. And I don't believe in my mind anyway. My emotions are just junk. So I believe God's word's everything. And so I went the next day, which is yesterday, and, you know, I just heard everything I needed to hear. It was so powerful that I was blown away. But I knew that before I even got there. I knew it was going to be powerful. I didn't know what he was going to talk about. I just knew it's going to be powerful. Now, what I'm doing is ascribing to you that I'm not a believer. I'm a believer who went through hell and discipleship until everything was dead so that I could then walk in love, be led by the Spirit, and be renewed and be restored. And I don't believe that's for heaven. I think that's for earth. And isn't that exciting that I, Pastor Jim, the bastard, the scoundrel, the nasty one, I'm now your pastor. Isn't that precious? And I have since God told me, I have a plan for y'all. Y'all gonna die too. Isn't that exciting? I want everybody dead. Did you know you have to be dead to this world so you can be alive to God in Christ Jesus? He doesn't care how you live. He's not worried about all that stuff. That's his business. Do you know that God can change anybody anytime, any way he wants to? Just like that. It doesn't matter if you live 72 years. It means zip to God. It doesn't matter. He can wake you up at 4 in the morning and say, you're going to do this. And that's it. It's over. And I was so excited. And there was a man from India that spoke. Peggy and I had gone to India. And he talked about that church that, you know, one of the 20 churches we went to. You were there. No, Lynn went. You were there too. Yeah, it was exciting. I don't know if you remember, but one day Mike was preaching, and he got so excited that he lost his voice. I mean, he was yelling, and you know, he was too excited, and then he lost his voice. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "You're going to finish what you know what he said." So instead of eating lunch that day, I just thought, "What do I say? You know, what should I say?" And so I spent my time in there. And this pastor remembered that, and he spoke that. And that was the place was called, I'll get it wrong, but Chinook or something. Something, Chin Chin or something. And he said, what you don't know is that when you got up and spoke and you finished what he had started, the people were blessed greatly. And that church expanded, you know, beyond measure. He was just telling us about this. Then he said, but then the Muslims came and completely destroyed the man's house, took all his stuff, and left him with nothing. Don't you think that's funny? That, did you know that Satan doesn't like it when we attack him? I mean, when we get out of his world, get out of his kingdom, and then we go for Jesus, he doesn't like that. And then not only do we go for Jesus, but then we come back and attack him, bind the strong man. And so, see that? Did you know that the devil's more afraid of you than you are of him? Did you know that? Let's say that. I am awesome. I can bind the strong man in the name of Yeshua. He that's in me, he's greater than he that's in the world. So did you know if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you then resist the devil and he'll flee from you? Isn't that funny? It's amazing. Anyway, so he said, this pastor, they said to him, look, you can't go back there because they've burned everything to the ground, taken all your stuff, you know, messed with your family, everything. He said, no, I'm going to go back. He said, no, we can relocate you to a better place where the Muslims aren't quite as ferocious. See, because they're out to get you. He said, no, I'm going back. I am going back to where that all happened, and I'm going to build again in that same place. So that was exciting. That was what he was trying to tell me. But everything he shared was too awesome. For example, I've always thought there were about 40,000 Chinese every day who accept Yeshua, Jesus, as their Savior. I've always said that. It's biggest in the world. 25,000 in South America, another 20,000 in Africa, another 15,000 in India, and so on. So over 100,000, you know, almost daily, so that within a week or so, you've got 1 million people. That guy said, I'd just been to China. And he said, 80,000 every day are coming to Jesus. He says, unbelievable. In that place, there was so much government control and, you know, communism and all this stuff. He said, actually, the gates are wide open. And he said, you can't stop them. And he even said, we went to Dubai. That's a Muslim country. And he said, there, that's against the law. You cannot preach to unreached peoples, and you cannot preach to, you can't change anybody's religion. You're just not allowed to. It's the law in Malaysia. It's the law in all these places. And he said, but there is a pastor, Edwin, there, who has a church of over 1,000 people, can seat 1,000 people, and there are 40,000 Christians in Dubai. They're all wanting to get into that church. And so they come and they line up early in the morning to get the 1,000 seats, and then they're closed. So, and then he said, so Mike, you're going to come preach here. Wow. So that's pretty awesome. Now, in other words, everywhere in the world where we're blocked, we're really not blocked. Everywhere in the world, wherever you go, God opens all the doors. How many know that God is opening the door for us? I told you the revival is going to happen this year now in Dallas. It's going to start. Something. I have no idea, and I don't want to know. I don't have any curiosity at all. Don't care. I'm just telling you what I heard, and I don't care if I'm right. Let's say I'm wrong. Okay, too bad. You were a fool to believe me. You should check every spirit to see whether it be of God. If you don't hear it yourself, how are you going to know if what I said was true? Do y'all see that? So you have to check everything by God. I love it. So it's too powerful, absolutely too powerful. So anyway, God did all that. I heard everything I needed to hear. And what I'm sharing with you is I'm not a pastor. Or I'm not a pastor who just preaches. I believe that That brings people to faith that Jesus died on the cross and stuff like that. It's good. Good start. But I believe that every one of you should not just be a believer, but you should also be a disciple. That is, broken, busted, crucified, till there's nothing left of you. And I love that job. I love that. I love to destroy all confidence in the flesh, every illusion that you have. That's called discipleship, where you actually submit to the authority of someone else, and that someone else is Jesus, but he worketh through people like me. Isn't that neat? Can you see how God prepared me through my, you know, weird kind of conception and birth and abortions and all that stuff? Can you see how God did that? Because, you know, the only way I could get into this world was I had to struggle and fight against all odds. How many know that there's about 50 billion sperm other than the one that got to the egg that made me? You know, so you had to beat out all those other guys. You see, there's already kind of a head start on winning. Did y'all see that? So, and then, you know, when your mother has to abort you and tries all kind of things, she told me all the things she did, and then try to get rid of me because I was a bastard and not legal and stuff. And I would ruin her life. Grandmother told her, he will ruin your life. You have a future. You know, just get rid of the little kid because he's nothing, blob, nothing. And so I was a reject. Has anybody ever been a reject? It's exciting because then you got nobody. You don't have any props. You don't have any strength. I had no fathers, you know, umpteen fathers. You know, never knew which one was coming in and going and so on and so forth. Had three, you know, the one-night stand guy, then the next guy who stayed a couple of years, and then the third guy, Adolf Hitler. Those are the only ones that I had that I knew about. But that's powerful. I love this scripture because it speaks to people like me. Did you know that Jesus said, I only came for sinners? I don't talk to, you know, non-sinners except to say repent. That's all he says. He's got one word, repent. Y'all see that? That is exciting. Now, some of you need to repent. Who's ready? Thank you. 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 Okay. Well, you all do. But anyway. So everybody needs to repent. That is, every day you change your mind, because every day you need to have your mind renewed. But there's initial repentance, which is to get saved, born again, filled with the Spirit. You know, that initially you have to be born of the Holy Spirit to become a new race of people, a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. That means it's already here. I'm not trying to get to it or prove something or perform or play a role. You know, you don't have to do a thing. Isn't that amazing? You just be yourself. Rotten. How many are still rotten? Not in your heart, but how many are still rotten in your soul? Or I would call it vain. It is vain. You know, it's all you think about is you. Even though you're a Christian. You're a Christian, but you still are wiggling back and forth like a serpent. You're still, you know, like, I'm not real hot for Jesus, but then I'm not cold. I'm not totally for the devil. I'm kind of in the middle. Trying to play it safe. I want to have one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom of God. I'd like to keep both feet and hope the boat doesn't pull away so that I'm destroyed. How many know that you can't limp along with two opinions? You either got to go all the way with Jesus or don't go at all. I mean, that's it. Black and white, sinner, saint, light, dark, true, false. That's it. So I don't believe in gray. I don't believe in middle. I believe when you're a sinner, go all the way to the hilt. I'm sorry, this is to talk about me. When I sinned, I had no guilt about it. I had no regrets. I had no looking back. I just sinned passionately with everything I had. When I lied, I lied. I still do it. Peggy catches me all the time. I'm still gifted at it. I think it must be a gift. No, it's actually just easy. It's easy. Did you know that it's easy to sin? Not that hard. But God wants to make you into a saint. He's big into holy. He's into holiness, not only imputed righteousness where I believe in Jesus, but actual righteousness where I'm dead to me and to this world, or I have no other love. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and I have none on earth that I desire beside thee. Wow, that is so incredible. How many are excited already? This, I haven't even got to the point yet, but this is just giving kind of like a little background here. Take me about an hour or so, and then I'll be done. God wants you 100%, every man, mature in Christ. I want you to say it. I want to be mature in Christ. Okay, there were two of you that didn't say it, so let's do it again. And everybody, don't look at your neighbor. I want to be mature in Christ. That is, Christ-like spirit, soul, body, life, everything. I don't want to wait till heaven. The normal church teaches in heaven you're made perfect. That's the normal church, because they don't want to deal with the fact that down here they're not. But God actually doesn't want you to love your neighbor in heaven, because that's easy in heaven. Everyone will be heavenly. Hi, heavenly. Hi, heavenly. We'll all be heavenly. No, he wants you down here to be a light, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, so that men, communists, Satanists, idolaters, Muslims, Jews, that then they see it here and give glory to your Father in heaven. Because if they see you being not you, but being a new you, they'll know you didn't do it. They'll know that, man, that's not you. You're not like that. I know what my natural self is like. Wicked as all get out, and I loved it. Unlike a lot of you, you felt guilty about it. I never felt guilty about anything. I loved cheating. I loved lying. I loved conning people, and I love Christians that do it. I love Christians that do it. I really do. It amuses me. I don't often say anything about it. I only do it if the Holy Spirit says, say something. I'm not going to say it because the Holy Spirit says, rebuke that person. I'd have to love you a lot to do that, because most people don't like to hear that. If I said, you're wrong, there's something in you that wants to defend yourself, explain yourself, and say something about your life or your, you know, your feelings or your mind or whatever. Do you all see that? But I love doing that. I like doing it. I wish you would say to me in those moments, Pastor, just say the whole truth. Now, I might do it anyway, because I'm kind of like that. But I'm not necessarily going to do it. You know why? Because God never forces what's good. God never forces anything that's good. You may eat of all the trees, that's liberty. You shall not eat of that tree. That's the only thing he says not to do, is what you not should do. He never tells you what to do. He only tells you what you may do, or what you may not do, or shall not do. That's all. But he never says what to do. He just says, this is what I want, but it's just kind of like, it's called precatory language. It's just like a desire. I wish you would do this. I want you to do this. Like when he woke me up the other night, since I'm a disciple, since I'm submitted to him, he just said, go into your room in there and I'm going to tell you something. And I just went. Because I don't need to believe in Jesus. I already believe in him. And I don't need to submit to him because I'm already submitted. So he knows I'm just a servant. He can just tell me anything he wants to. I'm not like, oh, you hurt my feelings. Oh, I need to sleep. Or, you know, I don't have any thoughts like that. It's like punishment is nothing to me. It's good. I need to be punished. How many know that you need to be punished? You need to suffer. How many know that you need to suffer? Okay, that's four people. Could I hear a, we need to suffer? Did you know that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered? Did you know that suffering is good for you? It kills the flesh, but it purifies the spirit. So that's the only way you grow. That's the only way you grow. It's the only way you grow. Even though you have a new heart, you don't have a new soul. Your soul isn't dead yet to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So your soul isn't yet perfected. And you're certainly, your life isn't. You could have a new heart, but have a vain soul and a foolish life. I'll say that again. You could have a new heart. Instead of an evil heart, you have a pure heart because you believe in Jesus. That's all it takes to get a new heart. Now, I have a new nature, but my soul is still polluted to the gills. And so, therefore, the only way to teach you is not through the Word, because you could hear the Word all day long and it wouldn't change your soul. Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, I believe in Jesus. That doesn't help anything. I believe if Jesus wanted to change me, he could. Oh, say that again. Well, if he wanted to. Oh, do you want him to? They don't know how to answer. Did you know what a snake people are? Why don't they just say, yes, whatever it takes, Jesus, I want my life to be pure, perfect, spirit, soul, body, justified, sanctified, glorified, holy, holy, holy. Isn't that powerful? How many are excited already? Because I still haven't got to the scriptures. I'm going to get there. Now, what God wants is people that say, I want to have holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, pure spirit, pure soul, pure life. That's what I want. How many want to be a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing? A glorious church. Did you know he's not coming back for a harlot church? One that messes around, one that's satanic, one that wiggles back and forth. You never know which direction it's going to go because it goes with the wind. How many know that we don't want to go with the wind? Amen? This is when a Baptist would say, amen, pastor, keep preaching, keep going. Okay, do we have any Baptists here? Amen, that's good, I love it. All I need is one Baptist. God is good. Now, God wants you all mature, not in heaven, but here. Today. Wouldn't you like to do it today? Would you like to at least start today? You have a new heart, but your soul is still vain. That is empty. Nothing. The heart doesn't affect the soul. Just because you have a new heart doesn't mean you're going to have a new soul. You can be born again, but you still have to become a disciple voluntarily with your will to say, I want that. That's who I am. I believe that's who I am. Therefore, I want to be me, the new me, the Christ in me, not the old me, Adam me. I want to be the Jesus me. How many are in Christ? By faith. Okay, but you also need to be there by will. In other words, you need to will it. Oh, I want that. I want to be, Jim, you are going to die to your flesh, crucify your flesh today, right now. You have to start again tomorrow, then the next day you have to start again. But today, just right now, I want to be pure. How many are ready? I want to. I make an act of will. I know God wants it, but that's just precatory because he won't force what's good. I have to also want it. And by faith, then, I activate my will and say, will to be you. Don't be someone you ought to be. Don't be someone you could be. Don't be someone you should be. Be Christ in you today, because that's who he said you are. You'd have to believe that then. But I do believe that. I do believe that God wants us to be transparent. He wants us to be spontaneous. He wants us not to think it through or work or labor or figure. I don't ever check with my mind or check with my emotions or check with my will or check with my desires. I just tell it what to do based on faith. It's always based on faith. Because I believe I am a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. I believe that. I also believe I'm the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Do you all believe that? Well, you should look like it then. Because it doesn't say the light of the church. The salt of the church. Trying to impress the church. No, it says you're of the world. So the world doesn't go by faith. They don't see your heart. And they don't even see your soul. They can't tell that you're a disciple. All they can tell is if you work, if you do something. And yet we can't work. But we don't have to. Because the Holy Spirit's in us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Isn't that neat? Do y'all see how easy it is? Now you have no excuse. Say it. I have no excuse. There's no one to hinder me. He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. I fear nothing. Perfect love casts out all fear. God's perfect love to me has cast out all fear for Satan and the demons and my flesh and all that stuff. See? So you really don't need to make provision for flesh. How many did that one time? How many, one time, you did make provision for the flesh? You can remember, it was years ago. Or maybe some of you did it this morning, I don't know. Did anybody do it this morning? I love that. That's bad, you're going to hell. That's bad. No, the opposite. Did you know that God does not desire the death of any sinner, and he wants every saint, which is a just person, to become what? Perfect. Just men made perfect. So there it is, justified, sanctified, glorified. Glorified would mean that's Jesus, not me. God is good. I'm not. But God is. Did you know that your goodness is derivative? That is, you didn't produce it. It's only in relationship to Him. You get out of, you cut the branch off from the tree and it doesn't produce. So the only way you can produce fruit is stay in Him. So obviously the only deal is get into Him. But you have to will it. You don't just believe in Jesus. That's enough to give you a new heart. You have a new heart, but it's not He who begins, but it's He who endures to the end. Well, we can't get to the end until we endure. So there's a little gap there. Have you noticed that it takes sometimes 4 weeks for you to get all the sin out of your life? I don't know if you've noticed that. Some of you are so slow, you know, you're just postponing it. But the truth is, it does take a number of days. It's not like salvation, which comes in an instant. You actually have to will it. And he won't push you. He won't force you. The Holy Spirit is gentle. He's not going to make you do something. It's up to you. No, Pastor Jim, it's actually because of the way I was raised. Really? Want to compare raisings? Circumstances, you know? I mean, I've prayed many times. God just won't come through. Really? It's interesting. I didn't find any scripture for that, but, you know, it's a good one. You're a liar. You have just lied to yourself, not to me, but you just lied to yourself because there's no barrier. Did you know that you can walk through any door? Behold, I set before you an open door. Did you know you could walk into any door? You can't get out, but you can get in. How many are afraid? You're worried about God opening a door, and then you go through and you're going to suffer. Of course, that's good for you. That's what He wants. How many are really excited by now? I hope I've inspired you. Pastor, go further. Go on. Okay, let's go to the scripture. These are great scriptures. I just want to talk about Israel because you don't like me talking about you. But let's talk about Israel. Israel is in trouble here. 26:27. Let's do Isaiah 27. In that day the Lord with His fiery, great, strong sword. So God's got a sword. It's not in His hand. It's in His mouth, actually. He shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, the wiggly serpent, the serpent that doesn't like to stay put. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, the one that goes back and forth. And he shall slay the dragon that's in the sea. So God, the Father, the Lord God, Adonai Yahweh, that God has got a sword in His hand, and one day He's going to chop off the head of Satan. Just chop His head right off. Now, that judgment is just one of many, 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 many judgments. He's also going to judge the church. That's where He begins always. That's us. He also is going to judge the Jews. That's what we're talking about right now. But He's also going to judge the world. But He's also going to judge the harlot. He's also going to judge the beast. And He's also going to judge the false prophet. He's also going to judge Satan himself. He's going to cut His head right off. So Satan loses, whereas we win. When He judges Satan, there's no hope. That guy's finished. But He won't judge you like that. When He chastens you, it's for your good with hope. And the hope I'm going to share in a minute. The hope follows, and it can't come without it, judgment. You have to have the judgment first. Say, praise the Lord. I want the judgment. I want the suffering. I want to learn obedience through what I suffer. You are good people, very good people. You are the best people. Do I have the best church in the world? Sinners who have repented and who believe and who want to be disciples, who want to go all the way with God. Okay, let's find out the secret. Let's find out the hope. Here's why Israel is going to go through the furnace 7 times. She's already been through 6 times. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, four Romes. That's funny. Jesus was the middle Rome there, the one that started the whole business. Babylon, Persia, and Greece, that was prior to Rome. And then Rome, at the time of Jesus, he was the worst Holocaust they ever had. Worst. They've never gotten over it. I mean, that produced an antichrist spirit for big time. So that's why Israel has to go through some more. So then there was still like a Rome, Holy Rome. The Emperor Constantine set it all up, church state mixed up and so on, harlot church. And then there's Adolf Hitler. He determined, I'm going to wipe him out. If Nebuchadnezzar didn't do it, and if, you know, the Persian guy didn't do it, Haman, all his crew, and if Alexander the Great and his guys didn't do it, and if Caesar didn't do it, and if Constantine didn't do it, and if Adolf Hitler couldn't do it, we're still going to get him. That's what the New World Order is, and it's now. The New World Order is here. And the Muslims dominate it. They have more voters in the UN than anybody else. Did you know that? And they're going to have their way, and they want to see not only the Jews wiped out, but all the Christians too. Isn't that exciting? Are you not excited? Woohoo! You remember how God has spared Israel all these years for the big finale, and here we are, the New World Order. And it's all against God, and against Israel, and against us, and against anybody that, you know, wants to not wiggle. It's set up by the non-wigglers, or the wigglers. We're the non-wigglers. They're the wigglers. We go straight. How many want to go straight? You don't want to go like Satan, off to the left, off to the right, off to the left, off to the right, never going anywhere in a straight path. But the enemy, as I told you, he is not after you. A snake doesn't come after you. He'll only attack you if he feels you're coming into his territory to step on him or attack his kids or something. A snake is just defending his territory from you. And he's so scared that his tail sometimes makes a noise. You know, he's just scared. You ever notice that about Satan? So the rattlesnakes don't come out and attack you, you know, as you're going through the field unless you're near them. And then they try to curl up and defend themselves. Like, don't come one step closer, I'm going to get you. Isn't that exciting? Don't you love snakes? Don't you love snakes? Because you got one inside of you. Even as Christians still have snakes. Have you ever noticed that Christians can bite? I mean, you thought the devil was bad. Wait till you meet a Christian. They got dragons inside of them that are fierce. I tell you, a Christian is the worst kind. Christians, worse than Israel. Anyway, Israel's going to get it seven times. Thank God for them to get it seven times till they're purified. And when you purify gold, it doesn't turn gold. It turns white. I don't know if you're aware of that. We only purify to 99.999. That's as high as we purify, because the next step, that other little point, blah, blah, that is when it becomes white like crystal. And that's why in front of the throne of God, it says, the streets are paved with gold, but they're not gold. They're actually white. They're like a crystal sea. They're like glass. That's pure gold. Anyway. You haven't been purified yet, but you're getting there. How many are getting there? You're working at it slowly, you know, putting a little effort into it. No, that's all God's work. And as soon as you see him, says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, what we know, that when he appeareth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and he who thus hopes in him purifies himself. So we're being purified, spirit, soul, body, right now. Just keep it. Don't get it. Keep it. You already have it. You're purified right now. These words that I'm speaking to you already purify you. You've been hearing it for years. You're already purified. Just stay there. Don't move off to the left or to the right like a snake. Anyway, Israel has not yet been purified. Israel has a blindness. Thank God Christians don't. That's good. Thank God. You know, we're children of the day, children of the light. We see everything clearly and so on. But the Jewish people are stubborn, stiff-necked. If anybody met Jewish people, I hope there are none here, Dolores, you are. But you're not stubborn and stiff-necked. No. Malleable, pleasant, teachable. You know what? Once you become born again, you're not your ethnic background anymore. You now become a new man in Christ. You're part of a new creation that God created recent, that is, since the time of Jesus. Before that, you had to get there by faith. What? Judy. You could be blind, but you see clearly. You know why? Because you weren't afraid to be a sinner. You know, most Christians don't want to be sinners. They want to pretend like they were one, but they aren't one now. Well, it's true spiritually, but it's not true psychologically. It's not true behaviorally. So how many know that you're still sinning, even today, even now? Some of you are tired. Bill, I'm surprised you're not sleeping right now.
Are you poking him? Amen. All right. It's good. Hey, Bill, I thought you were sleeping. All right. Turn to verse 9. All of this judgment is for this reason. Verse 9. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. In other words, the troubling of Jacob, Jacob's troubles. In other words, the purifying of the sons of Levi. And this purging, to purge all of the Jewish sin, is the fruit to take it away. Not just to forgive his sin, but to actually remove it forever. How many know that in our day, right now, I'm prophesying, in our day, the Jewish people as a nation, a whole people, will turn to Yeshua HaMashiach. How? Same way that God always deals with Israel. He only rescues them out of the furnace of affliction. You have to be in the furnace of affliction for God to save you. Now, we're already saved. But still, our souls need to go through affliction. We need to afflict our souls, not our spirits. I know you're a new creation and all that. I believe you're the righteousness of Christ and all that. But that's only in your spirit, not yet in your soul. And the reason that God saved you, that is, gave you a new heart, was to give you a new soul, was to restore your mind and restore your emotions and restore your, just take care of everything and not just forgive you, but take it away. Most Christians only want forgiveness. Lord, let me keep my sin and just, let me just live as I wish. But then be gracious to me and let me get into heaven too. Have you ever heard that teaching? That's actually the teaching of the whole church. But we don't teach that here. We believe that many are going to come on the last day and they're going to knock on the door and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he's going to say to those foolish virgins, they actually were born again, but they were foolish. They never got the oil of the Holy Spirit. They never got discipled. They never purified themselves. They never got all the sin out of their lives. So you know what? They fell back. And he says, depart from me, you doers, workers of iniquity. That is scary, because a lot of Christians who think, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm good. I believe in Jesus. I really do. I remember when it happened. Okay, but when did you become perfected in love? Well, I don't know. Pastor Jim does that. That's his. We pay him for that. Oh, that's funny. You know what? It's actually for everybody. Every man mature in Christ. Just men make perfect. Everybody is to be purified. Isn't that not exciting? It's like, Lord, that's what I want. I don't want to die without being purified. I want to be spirit, soul, and body in love with you. Now, if I do die, I'll trust you to take care of it because that's your job. But if I live, I want to live fully, 100% every day, every minute of every second of every day for you. Because I have no life of my own. You bought me. You paid for me. I've been bought with a price. So you're no longer part of this world. Love of this world is hatred of the Father. But love of the Father is hatred of this world. Has everybody here learned to hate this world? There's nothing here. You have no stake here. Don't worry, having a nice marriage and a nice job and nice health and nice everything. You don't need it. All you need is Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. If you would just seek him, you'd get everything else. You could say amen. Yeah. If you would just seek God, a love affair, it's an intimate love affair. It has nothing to do with behaving. It has to do with falling in love with him who died for you and getting to know him so that he renews your conscience. Then your conscience begins to speak to you as it speaks to me. And it begins then that you intuitively just know what to do and what not to do. Yes, no. Yes, no. Get up. Don't. Stop. Come back. It's real simple. No brains at all. You don't need them. I don't ever have to eat of that tree. I don't eat of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't need to know what it is. I just need to hear what God says. He might tell me to take a whip and drive people out. That's good. If God says it, do it, then you can do it. But what if it's not right? Well, that's God's problem. shouldn't have spoke to me. You see, I totally believe that God knows what he's doing, even though I don't. I believe that I don't have to know what I'm doing. I don't have to cooperate with him because he's not going to force me. But I also believe I have the freedom. I may. I have the freedom to say, God, I want to be pure, and he can't say no. I'm not going to forgive you, Jim. I'm not going to purify you. You've been naughty so long, you've gone way over the line. How many of you would think by now I would have it down? No. Even Paul said, not that I'm already perfect. Did you know that you can't be perfect until a trumpet blows? Nevertheless, on a daily basis, you can actually walk perfectly with God on a daily basis. You have to start all over again the next morning. And if you were proud of what you did the day before, then, of course, you'd have to really start again. Get a double whammy that day. How many know he's, you know, he's real good about this? But that's his job. He doesn't even sleep because he's taking care of everybody in China and America. They're sleeping, they're awake, and so on. But God actually is working on us night and day. In fact, I don't even know if he goes to China because he says he sings over me in the night. And so I feel he's singing over me. Jim, I love you. You're my sweetie. I love it. Do you see that? Do you see that? That's why I don't need my wife to have to do that. She does it, but I don't need that. I'm not requiring that because I have Jesus. Once you have Jesus, you have everything. Then Peggy's just like part of that frosting. She's like, wow, perfect wife, perfect church members. Everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-dah. Are you as happy as I am? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I tell you, when you're happy, you tend not to sin. Whereas when you get unhappy, you tend to sin. It's like, I'm going to make up for that. But God, sorry, Bill. I'll get back to the scripture. All right. So now we know why Israel's going to get it. And this last time, when Israel goes through the New World Order and the Muslims and all that stuff, you know what's going to happen? They're not only going to come out purified, they're going to see the one that they pierced and repent and be fervent, and it's going to be incredible. You won't even realize, wow, what we Christians did was nothing compared to these Jewish believers. They are so strong, passionate, in love with Jesus all the way, and the whole nation's going to do this. It's going to be powerful. Muslims will be converted, Hindus, Buddhists, witchcraft people, Satanists, all will be converted. So we're going to see a great pouring out. It's going to start this year. It's too exciting. All right, now, here's the salvation of, after all that judgment, here's verse 16, chapter 28. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Adonai Jehovah, or Yahweh, behold, I, not you, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. You know, now, when God lays something, that means he institutes it or appoints it. So to say lay is yasad. Or to say a foundation is to say musad. Okay? Have you ever heard of the Jewish police force? They call themselves Mossad, a kind of a secret FBI, CIA kind of group. And so what it means is they lay a foundation that God has instituted to do what's right. That's what that's about. And so when God says, I lay it, it means it can never be moved. It's so irrevocable. You cannot revoke it. You cannot attack it. You cannot argue with it. It is set forever. And before he even created the world, he laid this foundation. And this foundation is a cornerstone, Jesus, Ephesians 2:20. It's a cornerstone, and it's Jesus. But it's also a decree by God, a declaration by God, that you can lay all the iniquity of the world on that stone. It'll be gone. The Lord hath laid upon him all our sins and iniquities. That's what that foundation is for. So once you touch that stone, that cornerstone, that precious cornerstone, that tried stone, that stone that's been refined by fire, that's been tested, so that Jesus himself, being the cornerstone, the chief stone, the first stone that was laid, against which all other stones that are alive because he's alive. He died, then rose again because life was in him. And the life that was in him can never be overcome. So that life that's in him causes me to have life as a living stone, spirit, soul, body, matched up Father, Son, Holy Spirit, justified, sanctified, glorified, holy, 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 always, 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 three. Now, when God does that, he changes not only my heart, but then also my soul and restores it to where it was, not with Adam, but where God originally intended it to be when he created man in the first place. Adam was made imperfectly, even though he hadn't sinned, even though he was innocent. He actually, even though he had a new heart and everything like this, it isn't like the one we have now because we're a new creation, not just a natural creation that's incomplete. So bad theology out there floating around about we're going to go back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. Who wants to go back? Who wants to go back to the Garden of Eden and have a snake face you again and, you know, tempt you? No, no, no. We're actually going back to what God intended in the first place. This time you'll never be shaken. He who believes in me shall never be ashamed. It's forever and ever and ever and ever, and it'll never change. You see, it isn't once saved, always saved, because we're not just talking about justified. We're talking about justified and sanctified and glorified. That is the light of this world. That is the salt of this earth. That is what the world sees, and they don't see it in the church. The church is not yet the light or the salt that it should be. How many want to justify that the church has done great and awesome things? Don't. Look, you're not perfect until you're perfect. And so the church has not yet brought in the harvest, nor have we done what God wanted. We also have to go through the furnace. We also have to go through the flame and the fire. And we will join Israel in this last furnace. Isn't that exciting? Thank God. Isn't that been your prayer? God, let us identify so much with Israel that when they go through the fire and the flame, we will join them. Isn't that precious? Aren't you excited about that? Look, God has trained you. He has taught you, instructed you, so that you can go through anything and you cannot get rid of the fact that he loves you, that your iniquity is purged. In heaven it's done. On earth it waiteth. But all you have to do is say, Lord, today I'm willing, I want, based on faith, based on what you said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, the rhema of God, I want to be pure now. I can't do it. You do it. The Holy Spirit does it. He's in you to will. I want it. He's in you to do. I've done it. Now, we are to actually look like, talk like, walk like Christians, so that when people see us, they don't know the difference between us and Jesus. That when we pray, something happens. That when we speak, people are set free. Did you know that that's the church of the living God? That the church of the living God is not a church that talks, is the church that walks. That's the one that Jesus wants. And I just want you to know, and the only reason that I'm here rather than someplace else, is because it's going to happen here. It's going to start here. It's going to start now. That's exciting. That was what God was talking to me about the other night. He just shared it within an hour, the whole thing. See it, it's clear. I know exactly who I am, why I'm here, what I'm to do, and you are chosen, precious. You are selected out of the whole world to do that which God wants done. How many know that God chose you because you're Texans? Well, that might not be true. It might not be true. No. You're not chosen because of any other reason except now's the time. Now is the time. God has just simply said, I'm about to come back. And I don't want people knocking on the thing saying, Lord, Lord, when they don't mean it. You can't call him Lord if he wasn't your Lord. You can't just say, Savior, Savior. Savior, Savior. That's okay. You can say, Savior, Savior. He'd at least understand if you decided not to be discipled by me. You decided not to get all the sin out of your life. How many know a few of you are hiding, let's say, a couple of besetting sins. I'm trying to say it in a way that I catch everybody. How many still have one or two besetting sins? They just beset you, like anger. How many have that one? Okay. I know Peggy does. Okay. You have all of them, Judy? I haven't even said them. I haven't even said what they are. How many have envy? How many have pride? And the ones that didn't raise their hand, they're so proud that they didn't raise their hand. Because they don't want to be hypocrites. I'm not proud. How many have lust? Don't raise your hand. How many have fear? How many have fear? You're afraid of what? Everything. I'm afraid of living, afraid of dying, afraid of health, afraid of unhealth. I'm afraid, you know. No, look, perfect love casts it out. It's gone. How many know you're not afraid? You just bought a lie. You just checked with your emotions or with your mind or with the devil or somebody. Just stop. Don't do it. Just live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And God is saying to you constantly, I love you. Unconditionally, no conditions. I just love you. I'll do it all. I'll do everything. You come to me, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new soul. I'll give you a new life. I will give you everything. I want you to inherit everything I have. I don't want you to miss out. I don't want you to be in a doghouse. How many think when you go to heaven, you might get a little doghouse? Other people have a nice big mansion. Like, I expect to get a big mansion. I want a big one. No. Look, there are no differences. Did you know what we inherit when we go to heaven? It's not a house. You are the house. You're the temple of the living God. He inhabits the praises of his people. You know what you're going to inherit? God. You know what he's going to inherit? Us. There's no difference. Like, I get six crowns, you get two. You know, I have a bikini, you have, you know, a big dress. No. There are no differences. There's only one thing to inherit, God himself. If with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. Did you know that even now you're blessed with every blessing in heavenly places? You're not going to get it someday. You already have it. Speak on that. That's your authority. Live on that. Now, I, behold, he says, I, the Lord God, Jehovah, Adonai, Jehovah, I, the Lord God, say, behold, I lay in Zion. It's already done. Before the foundation of the world, before there even was a world, I built everything around it. In Zion. Now, Zion is a place. Therefore, what he's saying is, the heavenly foundation, cornerstone, rock, precious, tested, I put that in Mount Zion because that's where Jesus was crucified. That's where Jesus had his Last Supper. That's where Jesus ascended into heaven. It's all about Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach. And the reason why he put it there is it didn't come out of Fort Worth. It didn't come out of Tibet. It didn't come out of some other place. It came right there. So that's why we have a Judeo-Christian tradition or background. Because the foundation of this country could have been and was laid to be on a Judeo-Christian foundation, not a Muslim foundation. The Muslim foundation won't do it. The Hindu, the Buddhist, it won't do it. All those other religions are all works religions, and the modern kind of Judaism is a works religion, the kind that Jesus faced. But the original Jewish faith was the faith of Abraham, not the works that Moses taught. We have a new kind of righteousness. We don't have a different kind from Abraham. Abraham's faith, in fact, the whole book of Hebrews chapter 11 lists every saint in the Old Testament and showed that they all didn't have works, they had faith. Every one of them. You know, Noah, he had faith. It talks about Adam, he had faith. Everybody had faith. Sarah, she had faith. Everybody had faith. It isn't the works. The works grow out of the faith. If you have faith and it's dead, you won't have any works. So that shows it was just a word. You believed in Jesus, but you didn't go anywhere with it. No, no, no. This faith that we have should be active, should be working, should be, you know, pulsing with life in love so that people actually see our love, they experience our love, not our talk. Not God bless you, go and be warmed. But they actually see the sacrifice that we make. How many are excited about that? is you get to sacrifice yourself and not be your old self, but be your new self. How many know your old self didn't go anywhere? That was a snake self. This is your new self in Christ Jesus. Now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new, it's a whole new race of people that we never saw before. But we've hidden it for 2,000 years. It's amazing. I mean, I know a few things have gotten out, but not like it could have been and should have been. Now, what God is saying, I'm about to come back, so I'm going to have to hasten things up here, quicken things up at the last. So, should we start today? Don't you think we should start? Judy, I think you need to be one. Yeah. Michelle, you do too. Okay. And Jackie, you too. It's good. No, actually, we've already made a good beginning. But how many know that God doesn't want us just to begin or just to continue? He wants us to finish. The Holy Spirit's the finisher. The Holy Spirit is the completer. Jesus only kept it going what God the Father started, but the Holy Spirit is the one that finishes. Jesus through the Spirit. That is the Father in the Son through the Spirit, working in your heart according to the Word of God. That's where the power comes. And so God is still looking for a holy people, holy, holy, holy. Three different words in Hebrew and in Greek. They're not the same. The one is imputed, the other two are actual. God actually wants us to be holy in every way. Now, we are going to be a righteous people because we are a righteous people. Why? Because that's what he did. He made us righteous by lodging inside of us with his glory, with his power, with his majesty, with his beauty, his mercy, his everything. Everything you ever need. You don't even need to know what all the words are, but they're all good. Everything is to shalom yourself up with that cornerstone. Every brick in this building, I don't know where the cornerstone is. It's probably there on the corner. Wherever it is, they used to put a little date on it or something so you knew when that thing was founded. Actually, it's probably on this other building. It's probably on this old building. This old building is where John Osteen got born again. That's that other guy's dad. Now, he got born again and then later filled with the Spirit right here in the old part of our building. And I imagine there's a cornerstone there. And everything in that cornerstone, let's say you had the first brick and you just slanted it just a little bit. And then you built the next brick on top of that and so on. It'd be several feet by the time you got to the end of 50 or 75 feet. So everything in this building has to be exactly square. It has to be lined up. That is called in Hebrew shalom. Shalom doesn't mean just like peace. It means you lined up exactly as God wanted it, therefore he's at peace. He is happy. He is pleased. And that's how you please God. Is to be lined up. You don't do it. The brick doesn't do it. Brick, you don't talk to another brick. Line up with me. It isn't that way. It's actually God is the builder. God is the one that laid the foundation, and he is the one then that Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many know that the gates of hell will not prevail? The Muslims, they don't have a chance. I don't care what they've got in mind. Go for it. Not going to win. The Chinese, they're not going to go for it. I'm sorry. I know they're trying to conquer the whole world with their economic system and so on. Fine, do it. Can't do it. I'll tell you what, we're going to win. Amen? Do you all understand that? We can't lose. Why? Because we've already won. Because Christ Jesus has an investment in us, and he wants the whole world to be like us. And today, even Americans are falling apart. We'll fool you on them. We're not Americans, we're Christians. Do you all see that? Christians who are Americans are the only hope because we're the only light. It doesn't say America's the light. America's not the light. America's not the salt. It's only the Christians that are here, and the founding fathers, I read them thoroughly, the founding fathers understood the foundation was not the house. The political house is built on religion and morals, and the religion and morals is in the people, and it's free. It's not under law. You can't make religion and morals happen. All that you can do in the political house, if you want prosperity, if you want health, if you want wholeness, unity, and so on and so forth, greatness, the greatness is in the goodness of the foundation, not in the politicians that get elected. How many know that politicians aren't always good examples? Just like pastors aren't always good examples. I know I am, but I think some others are not. Thank you, Judy. No, you don't want to put your faith in any man. How many know it says in the Bible, trust no man? Trust only pastor. No, it doesn't say that. So you can't trust anybody. And that's why I tell all my sins all the time, so you don't imagine for a moment that there's anything of value. Everything is Jesus. It's a love affair. I don't take myself seriously at all. I take him seriously. What he said, what he did, that's everything. That's everything to me. Being here preaching means nothing to me. Nothing. Being with Jesus alone means everything. I love being with Jesus, but he won't let me stay alone. He'll send you back constantly. But first he has to build you up. To build you up, then you, living stone, have to be tied to him, the only stone that really has life, the cornerstone that he laid before the foundation of this world. A wise man builds his house upon a rock. Let me ask you something. Who's the house? Who's the wise man? It's not you. You might have thought that was about you. Build your house upon a rock. No, it's all about Jesus. He's the wise man that built his house, which is us, upon a rock, which is him. He's the builder. He's the rock. He's the one that inhabits it. He's everything. He's my all in all. The foolish man listens to his reason, to his mind, eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, acts like a snake, pretends like he's not. That's foolishness. God sees right through that. He sees through all your fig leaves, all your fakery, all of your religion. And just because you believe in Jesus, he doesn't count that. Faith has to be active in love. It has to be that we're actually loving one another. That's the whole experiment that God put on the earth is, I'm going to send, you know, Barbara and Jim and everybody, I'm going to send you out into the world so they can see you. He didn't put us out in the wilderness or out in the country living in a commune. He put us right in the middle where the temptations are everywhere. If you can make it here in the midst of the snakes, in the midst of the wolves, then you are truly a church. The only way you could do that is to stick real close to the shepherd. You couldn't do it otherwise. If you don't have a shepherd who loves you more than you love him, if you don't cling to him and rely upon him, that precious, tried, tested cornerstone, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a stone, a precious cornerstone. That stone that he's talking about is not a brick like the builders in Babel. They made bricks, made them out of mud. That's like a foolish man. You can't call a brick a stone because you can just hit that with a hammer. And therefore, God intended to build a church that would never fail. It would always be reliable. So he built it on this foundation, which is so strong that if a storm comes, if a wind blows, if a flood rises up, it won't matter. Did you know that if Jesus is in your boat, you don't go down? If he's the fourth man in the furnace, you don't get burned. The only thing that burns are your ropes. There's nothing to stop us from living the kingdom of heaven on earth today. How many are willing? How many want that? Lord, I want that hope that you're talking about, that hope that after all the storms and the floods and everything else, I will stand and I shall see my Redeemer. That's what Job said. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that even if worms eat this body, still I'm going to see him with my eyes on this earth. So the Lord Jesus is coming back, not to heaven. He's in there. He's coming back to earth to take us home. That's where we belong. Now, you have to be proven. You have to be tested. You want to go through all the difficulties and the problems that you're trying to avoid. Your brilliance of life was how to avoid trouble at all costs. How to build a garden that no snake will ever come in. That's funny. You ever built a garden and, you know, all of a sudden there's something wrong in that garden? If you ever built something nice or bought a new car, pretty soon somebody's got their key scratched across it or something or other. Whatever you buy that's new, it pretty soon gets old. Has anybody ever noticed that? You build a garden and, you know, not only snakes come in it, but, you know, all kinds of things. There's no way to keep the weeds out. There's no way to stop it. unless God guarantees the deal, you're not going to make it. And he guarantees it. That's why we're called fools by the world, but we're actually wise. Because we have let him be the builder, and him be the foundation, and him be the inhabitant, and him be the husband, and him be the everything. And that's why we'll be seated with Christ in heavenly places and see it. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And anyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself now as he is pure. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. God is good. Hope you're blessed today. Let's have one testimony. Okay, let's have the second one. Let's have a third one. Well, somebody testify. Pastor, that was so powerful. I could hardly stay in my seat. Judy. Yeah, good. Yahoo! Who else? Yeah, good. Two. Who else? Yeah, praise God. Who else? I'm waiting for certain persons. Who else? Yahoo! This was so exciting, Pastor Jim. Thank you. I see it. Powerful. Who else? Really? Good. That's powerful. It's powerful. Sweet peace. Yes. Challenging. Good. Yeah. It's powerful. Proven. Tested. That's the only way you're going to make it. You got to be the real thing. You got to be yourself. Your new self. That self that Jesus intended, which you've never been until he did it, and he brought it forth. He only chooses sinners. You have to be a sinner. Oh, I pray that you would be a good sinner. If you're going to be a hypocrite, be a good hypocrite. If you're going to be a liar, be a good liar. You know, in other words, that's the one he's come to save. Otherwise, no one will know there's a change. Jesus wants a change, not in the world to come, now, here, on earth. So that he could say, that's my kingdom. I built that church, and the gates of hell could not, they could prevail against everything in the world except that church. That church is the only bulwark against Satan's power. There is no other. Muslims can't do that. Hindus can't do that. Buddhists can't do that. I don't at all respect their religion or all that nonsense. I respect them. I like them. But I don't respect their religion. Ideas are not equal. People are. But not ideas. People are all beloved, but their ideas stink. They're demonic. They're stupid. They're satanic. They're foolish. Did you all hear what I just said? So, yes, don't you think all religions are the same? No. Don't you think that they all have something to offer? No. Well, don't you think something good about them? No. They're satanic. They're evil. They're works of Satan. Period. Why? Because they put the pressure on people. They put pressure on you to do something, be something. No. I put all the pressure on God. That's the way he likes it. He likes to do it all, say it all, be it all. And he loves you. What a God we have. A loving Father who will never change his mind. Did you know that people will go to hell, but God still loved them and always will have loved them? He never changed, but he just wouldn't force his love. Love never forces. Love has no conditions. Love loves everybody. That's why he said, I desire not the death of any sinner. He doesn't desire the death of Pharaoh or desire the death of Esau. Esau, I've hated. I know what it says. It's not what you think it says. He doesn't desire any man's death. Whosoever will may come. He's just opening his arms. Anybody can come. But come all the way. Don't start. Finish. Don't be like that builder that started and then didn't have enough money to finish. How many have started but felt you were running out of gas at a certain point? I was fervent last week, but I don't know. So much has happened this week, I'm getting discouraged. I'm thinking of quitting Jesus. I hope it'll teach him a lesson. No, really. Come on. Jesus doesn't want you to start even. He does all the starting. He does all the keeping going, and he does all the finishing. You are his workmanship. You are his workmanship. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. So, no effort. Come unto me, all that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. For my yoke is easy. My burden, It's light. Don't ever, ever think God will put anything hard upon you. He'll never tempt you beyond your strength. He'll never test you beyond what you can do. Stop saying, it's too much. It can't be. If Jesus allowed it, and if it happened, you just stand up and say, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. I'm a son of God. My Father in heaven loves me. Everything's going my way. That's the way to do it. Y'all see the power of that? I will not accept that. I don't accept that. I believe only... Did you know that all things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord? So I'm just going to say it. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The more I speak the truth, the more I'm set free. I know God did it, but you also are joining him, entering into his finished work that was done before the foundation of the world. You're just entering into it. And you're walking by faith without seeing it, without understanding it, without feeling it, without sensing it. You don't need any of that. All you need is the Word of God. The Word of God is spoken. It's powerful. It's a rock. It's Jesus. He is the living Word. I hope I bless somebody. I hope somebody got a hold of this because it's too powerful. And the best is yet to come. Save the best wine to last. Woohoo!
Lord, we just thank you for this message today. We thank you for your provision when you're providing us words and finances and whatever we need at that very moment. You're a God who meets us where we are. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we thank you for this word we heard today. And now we give out of the abundance of what you've given us and with a joyous heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.